Radio Prague News.
The Czech Foreign Ministry says the Philippines also believe that a group that includes one Czech have been kidnapped by Islamic State. The Czech president says the situation surrounding the kidnapped Czech is very serious. And the president's spokesman says Czech TV's decision to not broadcast his news conference was revenge for comments the head of state recently made about the station. The Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lubomír Zaharálek, says the authorities in the Philippines also believe a group of foreign workers, including one Czech, were kidnapped by Islamic State in Libya on Friday. Mr. Zaharálek made the comment after speaking to his Filipino counterpart, Alberto del Rosario, on Tuesday. The Austrian foreign minister had said on Monday that the nine-member group, which also includes one Austrian citizen and four Filipinos, had been taken hostage by Islamic State radicals. The Czech man, who has not been named, is reported to have been working as a caterer for the oil field management company Value Added Oil Field Services. The Czech president, Miloš Zeman, has described the situation surrounding the kidnapped Czech in Libya as very serious. His spokesman, Jiří Ovčáček, said the president was following the situation extremely closely. The head of state also praised the work of Czech diplomats and said he appreciated being informed about developments by Foreign Minister Zaharálek. President Miloš Zeman's spokesman says that Czech TV's decision to not broadcast live a news conference he gave on Tuesday was childish revenge for comments the head of state recently made about the station. Jiří Ovčáček said the president's office was considering making a complaint over the matter to the Radio and Television Council. Last week, Mr. Zeman accused Czech TV of not being a genuine public service broadcaster and questioned its current license fee funding model. The station has previously broadcast Mr. Ovčáček's news conferences live on its news channel. Czech TV said it had no reason to believe that the spokesman was going to release any new information at the one held on Tuesday. A new sculpture has been unveiled at Prague's Bubny train station in honour of the Jewish victims of Nazi transports forced to leave from there for concentration and death camps during World War II. Entitled Gate of No Return, the large work by sculptor Aleš Veselý consists of a section of track at a 45-degree angle as if leading up to the skies. It's part of a memorial of silence being prepared at the Prague 7 station that organisers say is also intended to foster discussion on the legacy of the Holocaust. Prague councillors have postponed a decision on whether to launch another arbitration hearing over the Blanka Tunnel project. The officials are considering taking action against a firm, Čeká de Praha DIZ, that supplied cables destroyed during flooding last year. However, they said they would give the company until Friday to put forward a solution. The 37 billion crown tunnel was due to open after numerous delays in April. However, it will not now go into operation until next year at the soonest. Work will start on 223 kilometres of new roads in the Czech Republic next year. The Minister of Transport, Dan Ťok, said at a meeting of construction industry leaders on Tuesday. Mr. Ťok said his officials would work simultaneously on getting planning permission for different sections of road ahead of the introduction of a new construction act that should make such processes easier. He blamed the slow pace of building projects in the Czech Republic on excessive red tape and said new legislation was overdue. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the fate of foreign workers, including a Czech national believed to have been kidnapped by brutal militants in Libya, remains unknown. We'll report on that. A new sculpture has gone up at the site of what will be a Holocaust memorial in Prague. And a little later in the program, stay tuned for In Focus, where Ruth Frankova looks at a new three-volume series tracing the history of Czech comics. The fate of nine foreign workers, among them one Czech national, who were kidnapped by terrorists in an attack on an oil field in Libya last Friday, remains at the center of media attention. The Czech foreign minister admitted on Monday that the situation was exceptionally serious and that with high probability the group was in the hands of brutal militants responsible for the recent beheadings of 21 Egyptian Copts. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
After hours of waiting and speculation, the Czech Foreign Ministry on Monday night confirmed that the group of abducted foreign workers had fallen into the hands of Islamic State militants. Moreover, according to information from Czech and foreign intelligence services, it appears almost certain that the militants in question were the same group of radicals who publicly executed 21 Egyptian Copts just a fortnight ago. In an interview for Czech television, Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek said he did not want to raise false hopes and admitted to feeling a sense of helplessness, despite the fact that everything possible was being done to try to secure the hostages' release.
The situation is very bad. It now seems almost certain that the militants group in question is the same group responsible for the brutal execution of 21 Egyptian Copts a fortnight ago.
The foreign minister said he was in close contact with his Austrian and Filipino counterparts, but in view of the fragmented and highly chaotic situation in Libya, efforts to save the hostages cannot be directed through official channels and are wholly in the hands of the respective countries' intelligence services. The Czech Republic has members of both the civilian and military intelligence services on the ground in Libya, and the country has sent two envoys to the region who are reportedly operating from the Egyptian and Tunisian border areas bordering on Libya. Czech Foreign Minister Zaorálek again.
It's up to them to judge how far they can go. They both have contacts in the country, and from what we know, they have started making use of them.
So far, no one has contacted the Czech authorities with any kind of demand, and according to intelligence experts, the people involved in this operation, both from Czech and foreign intelligence services, are now racing against time, using their contacts to reach various group and tribal leaders in the country in an effort to glean more information and possibly find a mediator for negotiations. What is against them is the fragmented state of the country, the mistrust of many of these groups, and the total unpredictability of radical groups such as the one which is believed to be holding the foreign hostages. More information has also emerged on the Czech national who was abducted with a group. According to the daily Mladá fronta Dnes, the man, identified only as Pavel H., is from the Vysočina region in Moravia. The 50-year-old Czech cook, a father of three, was employed as catering coordinator for VAOS Oilfield Services, for which he had worked since 2009. He is reported to have returned to the country repeatedly for work purposes and most recently visited his family at home just a few days ago. Another Czech who worked for the company at the time of the attack is reported to have returned home safely via Egypt. The foreign ministry says it has managed to contact all Czech citizens working in the country with the exception of one who is located in a remote region. All have been advised to return home immediately and the ministry has warned all Czech nationals against travelling to Libya.
Daniela Lazarova reporting there on a very grave situation indeed. The fate unknown for nine foreign workers believed to have been kidnapped in Libya. In other news, the Bubny railway station in Prague, which saw tens of thousands of Czech Jews leave for the ghettos and the Nazi death camps, is set to become a new Holocaust memorial. A ceremony at the Funeral Memorial of Silence on Monday was attended by Czech Culture Minister Daniel Herman, representatives of the Israeli, U.S. and German embassies, as well as Holocaust survivors. Ruth Frankova spoke to Tomáš Bouška, the coordinator of the Shoah Memorial, and first asked him about the special sculpture being unveiled.
The statue, we call it, as the author, Aleš Veselý, wished, we call it the Gate of Infinity. And it is actually a 20 meters long statue made of rails. It is a good paraphrase to the Jacob's Ladder. So there are 36 steps. We have unveiled the statue just because it is standing on the very place through which at the Prague Jewish transports were marching to the trains. Secondly, to commemorate the victims of the family camp in Auschwitz, the so-called Terezin family camp that was exterminated in 1944. It was almost 4,000 people who died within one night. So this is to commemorate the biggest mass murder within the Czechoslovak Holocaust.
What will the memorial look like, and what can be seen there when it is finished? Will it be a traditional museum with an exhibition space, or what can we expect?
Quite on the contrary, we hope that the future Memorial of Silence in Bubny will actually represent one of the most modern and hopefully most popular memorial which Prague will only offer. What do we mean by modern memorial? Of course, the story of the place is the basic message, right? This is the place through which almost 50,000 people boarded the transport. However, we understand this place as an opportunity, as a challenge, how to tackle many other issues than only the Holocaust. We would like to speak about current issues, about the patterns of genocide around the world. This is why we are, for instance, right now discussing an opportunity how to bring to Prague an exhibition from Srebrenica, which is being commemorated in 2015 after its 20th anniversary. We believe that this memorial can serve as a platform, as an education center, and as a space for discussion on the future of our steps with the legacy of the past, with the tragic horrors that this train station and the country has been facing in the 40s.
Do you already know when the memorial will be open to public?
Well, if things go very well, we hope to open the Memorial of Silence by the fall 2016, which will be another anniversary of the first Prague transports. This all very much depends on the support of the institutions, of private donors, many other partners who are currently helping to develop the whole project. But if things go very well, we hope to manage by the date, that is, autumn 2016.
Tomáš Boška, the coordinator of the Shoah Memorial, talking there to Ruth Frankova. Quick reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for today's main feature, In Focus, and Ruth stays with us for that.
For years, comics was considered a lowbrow genre and was neglected or even banned during the communist years. Recently, however, the situation has changed with new talented authors emerging, and it seems that comics has finally become a respected part of Czech culture. At the start of this year, a group of authors published an exhaustive 3-volume book on the history of Czech comics. I met with one of them, Tomáš Kořínek, and started by asking about the origin of the genre in Czechoslovakia.
Well, it's always quite difficult to date the exact moment of a birth of a genre. Obviously, the comics evolved from the caricatures, from the sequential cartoons that were published in the satirical magazines in the latter half of the 19th century. And then it slowly became more and more comics, like the speech balloons emerged, the sequentiality in the images emerged. For us, the first probably proper comics in terms of using all these modern comic aspects were The Adventures of Mr. Topasek by Karel Štrof, which were published in Humoristické listy in 1905. But for us, the comics emerged in its modern form really at the beginning of the 20th century.
Now, how did it stand in comparison to other countries at that time?
Well, I think that at the time we were somehow on par with all these European countries, with France, with Germany, with England. Obviously, the American comics were evolving much more quickly during the first decades of the 20th century. The comics were at the time dedicated mainly to children audience, but there were still some satirical strips, satirical one-page stories focusing on adult readership.
Can you mention at least some of the best-known comics from the 30s and 40s, from the pre-war period?
Well, I think the most famous comic artists of the pre-war period were people that we are now not really connecting with comics. Josef Ladaur, Ondřej Sekora, these nestors of Czech books for kids and illustrated kid books, started doing comics in 1920s. Ondřej Sekora created his Ferda the End as a comic character, and only later it became the protagonist of these illustrated books we all know. For me, a especially interesting person is René Klapač, who did this comic series called Puntia, which was an adaptation of American series. They didn't want really to pay the fees for the new episodes, so they took the characters and redrawn them in the original style. And René Klapač series was really interesting for its usage of this transmedial narration and all these merchandising gimmicks and stuff like that. In the second half of 1930s, that's definitely not something that we are looking for when we are researching the comics, but it was really interesting to see that comic advertisement and comics merchandising were already quite established at the time.
You mentioned Ferda Mravenec, Ferda the End. Now, that's interesting because I think it reflects well the changes in political and historical situation in the country. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, the case of Ferda the End is really interesting because Ferda the End was a series that was published from 1933 till, I think, 1951, with some breaks, obviously, during the Nazi regime and during the Stalinist period. But at the beginning of the series, Ferda was this individual, somehow lazy character who didn't really want to do everything for the collective. He was really standing for himself, and he was even trying to avoid being enlisted in the army. But after 1948, after the February, Ondřej Sekora dedicated his end to all these socialist needs, so Ferda the End became this really topical new socialist end that wanted to build the socialism and fought the American Beetle and done all these quite ideologically charged things.
What about the approach of the communist regime to comics? How did they regard the genre, and when did they actually start to use it for their own propaganda?
It differed. In 50s and 60s, the comics were mainly perceived as something imperialistic, as something that had nothing to do with socialist culture for kids and that should be eliminated from Czech culture. In 70s and in 80s, during the normalization, I think they somehow changed their stance towards comics. They decided we will use comics for our own needs, and they somehow decided that comics, to some level, would be allowed, but you have to do all these, like, everydayness stories without any real adventure, without any stories that would somehow be interesting for anyone older than 10 years of age. So during the 50s and 60s, the comics were restricted, banned. During the 70s and 80s, it was more like reglemented. It was close to some prearranged cage where it was allowed to exist.
Among the comics that were banned were probably the most popular comics in our history, and that's Rychlé šípy, the Rapid Arrows. What's the history of that comics?
Well, the Fast Arrows or the Rapid Arrows are really one of the most fascinating cases of Czech comics, because that's the comics that was banned three times. For the first time, it was banned in 1941 during one of these liquidations of Czech press during the protectorate era. It emerged in 1945. Then it was once again banned in 1948, this time by communists. And then it once again emerged during the Prague Spring in 1967. But the third banning came in 1971 once again, and that was the final one. That was the time when the series ended.
Do you think it was only read by children, or it was also popular among adults?
I think the Fast Arrows were mainly, during its first and second period in the 1940s, were mainly read by teenagers and young adults, probably. Obviously, during the 60s and the break of the 60s and 70s, when the Fast Arrows came to life for its last time, I think they were read by adults as well as by teenagers. Obviously, the adults were nostalgic towards the episodes they read when they were kids, so the readership of the Fast Arrows in the 1960s and the beginning of the 1970s was somehow widened.
You also said that the communists basically restricted the genre and focused it mainly on kids. I guess that explains the popularity of another well-known comics, and that's Čtyřlístek, The Lucky Four. Do you think it was so popular because it was strictly apolitical and because it was targeted on kids only?
I think the main reason for its popularity, which was huge and it's still quite popular even to these days. Was that at the time, that was the one and only comic magazine in Czechoslovak culture? There were no other dedicated magazines that published solely comics. The Lucky Four was the only magazine that 8-9 times a year presented a new story of the well-established series. I think that this fact that it somehow was still using the same characters, the readers were returning to the same story world or whatever, was somehow important for the popularity of Čitelistek. All the other serials at the time were quite limited in the episodic count. Usually the series had like 12 or 24 episodes. Čitelistek had before 1989 published something like 180 stories, which is a huge amount, and it was as big as no other at the time.
I also believe it's one of the longest lasting comics in the history of Czech comics.
Yeah, it's definitely the longest lasting. And also, I think the one of the other reasons for its popularity, it used the quite popular genre funny animal stories, which is a really global phenomenon. One day I would really like to dedicate a study to this genre, because all the comic cultures all around the world, no matter how different their comic traditions were, somehow evolved their own funny animals genre. And I think that Lucky Four was popular also for this genre affiliation.
What happened with the comics genre after 1989? How did the authors use the freedom they suddenly had on their hands?
Well, the next few years after 1989 were times of the huge comics boom in Czechoslovakia. The authors had new publishing opportunities. Several new magazines emerged, a lot of translated series were being introduced. In 1991, there was a time when I think 70 concurring series were published at the same time. Obviously, that was too much. The market was not prepared for it. Everything was becoming much more expensive. And obviously, new forms of pop cultural entertainment were being introduced. So in 1993, the new Czech comics crashed. No magazine survived this year. Čitelistek is the sole exception. For a few years, from 1993 till 1989, there were basically no new important Czech comics at the time.
I have this feeling that basically it was only after 1989 that Czechs discovered that comics was not only a genre for kids, but it was also targeted to adults. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that even bigger change came after year 2000. That's the time when I think the polarity switched or something like that, that since 2000, the new Czech comics is usually aiming to adult readership. Before 2000, it was more or less still kids and teens genre.
Can you mention at least some of the modern Czech authors, perhaps some of your favorite ones?
Well, from the contemporary Czech comic scene, I really like the works of Jiří Grus, Vojtěch Mašek and Jan Baban. They do all these really intelligent graphic novel stories that I think would be really interesting even for readers of so-called high literature. I really like the new book by Toybox, which is a young comics artist who prepared the first Czech autobiographical comics, and quite a strong story it is. From the older generations, I really like the works of Ondřej Sekora and Trené Klapač. I think that we still owe a big debt towards these authors, and I hope that one day it would be possible to prepare some critical editions of their works. In the archive of Ondřej Sekora, there are hundreds of beautiful strips that didn't see the light of the day since 1935, and it would be great to have an opportunity to prepare selected works of these masters of Czechoslovak comics.
That edition of In Focus was produced by Ruth Frankova, and that takes us just about to the end of today's program. A quick reminder, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard, please write to english@radio.cz. And don't forget, Radio Prague is also on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thanks so much for joining us this day, and take care.